I'm back with you this afternoon. Had a good afternoon with Cosner's, and they took me out and fed me one of my favorite dinners. I like Chinese, and so I got to eat Chinese today, so appreciate that. And then they tried to stuff me so that I would probably maybe so I wouldn't preach too long tonight and put me to sleep. I don't know, but I had cake and cookies, and that's, they just kept trying to stuff me. But I refrained and ate some fruit, you know, and tried to stay light. And I do appreciate it. I love it's always enjoyable. I love spending time with God's people. It's just a blessing that fellowship. You have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you know, and especially in the Lord's churches, you go and spend time with God's people. It's just a blessing. What a blessing we have to, you know, to have a life in Christ, to have that salvation in Christ, and to have that relationship with God's people, and to feel like you're at home wherever you're at. As long as you're with God's people, you feel like you're at home. What a blessing. Appreciate that. We're going to look this evening in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and kind of stirred me up along the lines of this thought that I mentioned earlier. I've been lately reading quite a bit of missionary biographies, and that I mentioned the man this morning, John Patton is his name. But anyhow, he was on this island, and it's in the ocean, and it's a low island. And he dug a well there. And that was like the first time that the native people there had ever, you know, anybody had attempted to dig a well. The only kind of water they got was rain. They're in the middle of the ocean, and if you dig down far enough, you hit salt water. And nobody ever dug a well there. But God laid it down in his heart, you know, to dig a well. And basically, the natives there just thought he was nuts. You know, thought he was literally going losing his mind, because only crazy people do things like this. You know, God is never going to give you rain out of the ground. You know, they just could not understand what they knew that he had lost his mind. But long story short, he dug this well. It was like 30 feet deep or something, you know, and if you can imagine what labor that would be and toil. He digs this well. He gets down and he gets to where the ground is starting to get damp. The next day he goes and he gets all the people to come around and, you know, and to see this. And he digs down and gets to the water. He takes an empty jar down there and goes down and it's fresh water. But what was significant about that is that so changed the perception of the people there. They started listening to what he said, and they never could have believed that God would give them rain from the ground. It's basically the way that they put it, and they basically came to the conclusion, we couldn't see and we couldn't understand that this water was in the ground, the missionary has showed us that there's water in the ground, and he's been telling us about Jesus who we can't see. And why should we not believe about Jesus who we can't see, you know? And anyway, this act of digging this well, literally it was something used of God in a special way. An ordinary thing that you might think is ordinary, it was used in a special way to illustrate something to these people. And certainly God knew that, and it was a blessing. But that got me thinking, you know, and it got me thinking about Jacob's well in John chapter 4, and all the blessings that happened at Jacob's well. And so we want to try to relate a little bit of that to you this afternoon and encourage you. But John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." And let's look once again to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you once again for your word. We thank you for all the many illustrations and applications. Father, how every word is important. Father, how every word is significant. Father, we just pray that you would apply the significance of your word. Help us to make good and true application to our lives, to the labor of our lives, to the legacies, to the things that we're leaving behind to the next generation. Father, help us to make good application from your word and pray that you'd bless it to us and encourage us by it this afternoon. We just pray for your help in these things, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the importance of Jacob's well. You know, no doubt we've heard many, many messages about the Lord meeting the woman here at the well. And considering the living water that he gave to not only to her but to, you know, that whole city of Samaria, and how many millions of people have read this passage in the Word of God and been blessed by it and taught truth by it. So much truth is taught here in this passage of Scripture, and all the spiritual truth was taught at Jacob's well. And so we want to make this application about the importance of Jacob's well. But long before Jesus sat upon this well and gave living water to the city, Jacob, or perhaps one of his fathers, maybe somebody he bought it from, but regardless, somebody dug deep into the hard, dry ground to give water to his family. And where would the Samaritans have been without this well that brought them and Jesus together? Where would you and I and millions of others be without these blessed truths taught and recorded here by Jacob's well? But here's the message in a nutshell. God can take the ordinary labors of your lives, of our lives, and turn them into wells of spiritual blessing for generations to come. So long as we dig deep for God, and we don't give up before we reach the water. I mean, digging a well is just ordinary hard labor life, you know. I mean, none of us, no doubt, have dug this sort of a well. I mean, maybe you have. Digging this sort of a well, you're just digging into a hole into the ground, you know, and then you've got to build some structure to keep the ground back and make it last. And it would have been very, very hard, difficult labor to dig a well like that. But it was just, it would seemingly the ordinary labors of life. And yet later on, Jesus sat there at that well. And so I hope we can make some application today about your life and about your labors. And they might seem like the ordinary labors of life. But listen, God can take the ordinary labors of your life, the things that you think maybe don't mean much, the things that you think are boring and ordinary and sometimes you might feel like, what am I doing this for? What's the purpose? So long as you're living for the Lord and you're serving the Lord, he can take the ordinary labors of your life and make it a blessing. He can make it a blessing. And so we want to talk about that this evening. But Jacob's well was there. We see that in verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. You know, I believe every word of every word in the Bible is significant and important. And you know, we're to take note, we're just make some application. You know, what if Jacob's well wasn't there, you know? Who knows? But what we know is that Jacob's well was there. There was something that Jacob had left behind. There was a legacy that Jacob had left for generations to come. There was something good that Jacob left in his life. You know, and obviously the well wasn't so much. You know, it was water. But what was significant was that one day Jesus would come sit on that well. And one day Jesus would come there and teach spiritual truth. You know, and the things that we're leaving behind for our children. You know, we want to leave a legacy behind. We want to leave something important and lasting, and something that Jesus will use someday to the blessing of others. You know, we want to be digging a well, something like this of Jacob's. But Jacob's well was there. Two things then. It was there because at some point he either dug it or he inherited it from someone who did, or maybe bought it from someone who did, and that it was built to last. I mean, if you think about this, this well had been there 1,800 years. It tells us in Matthew chapter 1. Let's just flip back there a minute to get an idea of how long this well had been there. Matthew chapter 1 and... verse 17 is speaking, you know, obviously Matthew 1 is the genealogy of Christ going back to David. But we see here that there's a time reference here in verse 17. It says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And so you could take away, you know, Abraham and Isaac, take away two generations, and then you have Jacob. So starting there, you got 12 generations. But all the all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So that's 42 generations. And you, so taking away Abraham and Isaac, those two generations, you've got 40 generations. This well's been here for 40 generations, since the time of Jacob all the way to Jesus. You know, that says something about the quality of the work. It says something about that this thing was built to last, you know. And we need to build things that are going to last. We need to labor in things that are going to be lasting and that are going to be significant. If you want to leave a well of blessing for others, you have to dig it, first of all. I mean, you've got to apply yourself. You've got to dig it. Dreaming and talking about it won't do. You know, we have a lot of good ideas maybe that never come to pass. You know, just talking about things and dreaming about things never got anything done. You know, you'd have to apply yourself to it. You got to go out there and apply yourself to the labor God's given you. You know, and the big thing I want you to do with this message tonight is think about your life and think about your labors and think about the things that you're laboring to leave behind. Think about the things that matter. Think about the eternal things. Think about the thing, you know, everything in this life, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with God really doesn't matter. But it seems like we get distracted by a lot of that stuff. But we need to focus on the things that matter, the things of eternity, the things that are going to matter in the lives of other people. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we laboring for? But we need to be laboring in that. And then make the application to your life. What are you doing for the Lord? What kind of a well are you leaving them, so to speak? What kind of a place where they're going to, you know, maybe someday meet with the Lord? And we need to, you know, build that kind of a life. Build that kind of a life. Leave that kind of a legacy for our children and for, you know, our children's children. And I know that, and I've heard it, you know, more than once being here, that there's a mourning in your heart for the children that once were here. Well, listen, don't give up on them. Keep praying for them and keep digging your well and keep living your, you know, keep serving the Lord faithfully and keep trusting in the Lord that someday maybe He'll bring them back. Someday maybe He'll bring them back and He'll bring them to this place. He'll bring them to that life of faithfulness and that testimony and those things that you have built and those things that you have left behind for them to follow after. And maybe that the Lord will bring them back and meet with them and work in their heart and restore them and bless them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. But keep being faithful at what you're doing. And keep digging your well. And leaving that legacy, you know, for those to follow after. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about leaving something behind that matters. You know, a life that matters. What are you living for? If you're living for this world, you're not going to leave them anything, you know, but stuff that's going to burn up and vanish away. And if you're living for the Lord and you're laboring in the things of God, that's going to last. That's going to last. Those are eternal labors. And that's what I want. Hopefully, you'll be able to take that and make that application this afternoon. But we've got to dig the well. We've got to stop dreaming about it. We've got to labor in it. Dreaming and talking won't do. Only by trusting God and digging deep will a well be made. You know, Proverbs chapter 14. I'll go read a scripture there. It's one of the, you know, I tend to be a procrastinator and a dreamer. You know, so this is one of those verses that you know, helps me and kind of, you know, gets me moving and stop talking about stuff and start doing. Proverbs 14 and verse 23, it says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." You know, it doesn't do any good to talk about it if you don't ever do it. You've got to apply yourself. You've got to do it. You've got to take action. You know, and there again, we can make some application there. How many messages have you sat and heard and said, "Yep, amen, that's a good message," but it was just a talk of your lips, and you never did anything about it. You never made application to your life. You know, you've got, in all labor there's profit. You've got to apply yourself to the things of God. You've got to labor in it if you're going to build something, if you're going to leave something, you know, for someone else to follow after. If you want the well to last, you have to build it right. When work is hard, people have a tendency to take shortcuts, and the result is shabby work that doesn't last. You know, I mean, digging a well, that's hard work, you know. And you might be digging, you know, and laboring hard in something, and you think, man, I just want to get this over with and get done, you know. Brother Kevin, no doubt, he's seeing that side of things now, being an electrical inspector. He's seeing the, you know, people, they want to get it done fast, they want to make their money, they want to get to the next job, and so they're trying to take shortcuts, and he says, nope, you can't take that shortcut. People want to take shortcuts, and they want to take shortcuts in the things of God. We want to take the easy way. You know what? But the easy way is often is the wrong way. The easy way is often the shabby way. It's the way that is not going to last. Many times it's going to be the harder way, the difficult choices in life, the hard decisions, the stands that you take where you don't compromise with family and with children and with those that are pulling on your heartstrings, and you don't compromise, but you stand there and you stand on the Word of God and you make the hard decisions and you engage in the hard labor. You see, it's just easier to say, is it really that big a deal to do this or that or the other, you know, but. We can't take the shortcuts. We've got to labor, and sometimes it's going to be hard, you know. But it's worth it. It's worth it if we do it right. If we build it right. If we build it in a way that's going to last. obviously, to do that, we're going to have to stand on the Word of God. We cannot take shortcuts in digging a well of God's blessing. Just like a house, it must have a sturdy structure. The sturdy structure of God's Word. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. I mean, and again, a church, you know, a church is a perfect example of this well of Jacob's. I mean, it really is, you know. It's just, you know, as far as the building goes, it's just a building. But it's a place, you know, where the church assembles inside of the building. You know, and laboring in the things of the Lord and laboring as a church together, that's building a well. That's digging a well. That's leaving a place for generations to follow. You know, that's leaving something that's going to be a place of blessings for the next generation. And so we labor in those things, but we need to do that, you know, the right way. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, it says, Jesus says here, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man which without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." But just like building the house, you've got to build it on the right foundation. And if you're going to dig a well that's going to last, if you're going to build anything that's going to last, you've got to do it right. You've got to do it according to the Word of God. You know, apply that to the Lord's church. You know, you've got to do it right. You've got to stand on the truth of God's Word. You've got to continue in those things, you know. And things also need maintenance, you know. You've got to maintain, those things that you're building. Another thing about wells is digging a good well is very hard work. I mean, obviously, that's hard work. And serving the Lord is very hard at times. You know, there'll be some difficult times and difficult situations, and you know, especially the things that are gonna affect your heart. You know, family, all family, lost family is gonna pull on your heart, and they're gonna want you to compromise on this and that and the other thing. But don't do it. Don't do it. You just stick to the Word of God, and you stay faithful in those things, and you keep laboring in those things. You know, a lot of times jobs and money, that's gonna be an issue. You know, job's going to ask you to compromise on a Sunday here or there. Going to ask you to compromise on this or that or the other. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, take the hard way. Take the hard road. Take the hard labor, you know, to be faithful to the things of God and digging in the things of God and keep laboring in those things. But digging a well is very hard work. We have no recorded account of when this well was dug, only that it was Jacob's well. But we have other examples of the difficulties, value, and struggles of building and maintaining a well. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 21 for a minute. Genesis 21. And again, make application to the things of God all through this thing. Building your life according to the things of God. Laboring in the things of God. You know, those are the things that are going to matter. Those are the things that are going to last. Those are the things that are going to bless your children and your children's children and others and generations that come. It's the things of the Lord, laboring in those things. That's what's going to last. That's what's going to matter. But Genesis 21 and verse 25, it says, and Abraham removed Abimelech because of Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. So not only did Abraham dig the well in the first place, and he had to put all that hard labor into digging it, he had to basically buy it back from those that stole it from him, and he had to invest a whole lot more to keep it. And boy, if that isn't applicable to the things of God, and all those things that we stand for, and all those things that we've labored for, and all the investment that you've made into the lives of your children and your grandchildren, and then you see that Satan comes along and seems to steal them away. There's a lot of labor, that goes into digging a well and things that matter for the Lord, and then the thieves come and steal it, But it's a lot of labor to maintain it. Maintaining truth. Boy, we live in a day when truth is just being sold left and right, stolen away left and right. Maintaining the truth of God's word, that's hard labor. That's something that we need to invest ourselves in, be willing to pay to keep, and invest ourselves in to keep. Just like Abraham, this well was valuable, and so it was worth it to him to keep it. Listen, the things of God are valuable. The truth of God's word is so valuable. It's the most precious thing we have. If we let that start to go and we let that start to slip, we're losing the most precious thing that we have. What would we do without the word of God? It's so precious. And we can't let it slip. We've got to do all we can to keep it. But it's hard work to dig a well and to maintain it, to keep it. A well left to his children, we see there and back there in John 4 and verse 5 and verse 12. This is some of the most, the significant parts to me. I see it's so important to be laboring for the sake of our children, to be leaving something to them that matters. Again, not getting all caught up with the world and the success they might find in this world. Oh my, what does it matter if they have everything in this world and they don't have the things of God? What does it matter? It doesn't matter. The most important thing that we can instill in the lives of our children is the truth of God's word and the things of eternity, salvation, the word of God, the Lord's church. These things matter, These are the things that we need to, be instilling in them and leaving to them and, teaching them so that they can inherit those things from us. But as far as what we leave behind in teaching and things, but verse 5 there of John 4, it says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. He gave it to his son. Oh, what better things could we leave to our children than the things of the Lord? Than the precious truths of God's word, the Lord's church, the gospel, obviously. What better things can we leave for them? And we need to be living for that. And not losing sight of that. Not losing sight of, those to follow after. And we need to be living our lives in such a way that we're going to leave them something that matters. At least leave them with your testimony. At least leave them with your example. Leave them with your example of what's important and what matters. Set that example for them to follow after. That's you're building a well. You're building a place of blessing. You're building something that someday the Lord can take and use in their life to convict them and to convince them. And that's what we're doing. We're laboring in those things. But a well left to his children. We need to be wise enough to be buying spiritual ground and digging spiritual wells to be left for our children. Go back to Genesis 33. Genesis 33, this is where Jacob buys this ground to be left later on to, for his children. But Genesis 33 and verse 18. It says, and Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came to from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El-El-Ohi Israel. But you see, he bought this ground, and later on, we see that he leaves this inheritance, you know, to his children. We need to be buying up spiritual ground for our children. Too many people are focused on this world, and it's like they're buying up this life for the sacrifice of spiritual ground. You know, they might be gaining in this world, but so what? They're losing ground in the things of God, and maybe they're going to leave, you know, this world to their children. But so what? So what? It's the things of God that matters. It's we need to be wise enough to be buying up spiritual ground to be left for them. But if we spend our lives in this world, we will leave them nothing but spiritual poverty. Proverbs 13. I mean, this is one of those things that just breaks my heart when you see people, you know, when you see particularly parents with young children. And they just don't seem to get it. Oh, it just breaks your heart. It's just like, don't you get it? Don't you understand? Don't you understand what you're forming the structure of your children's lives, and you're setting the example of life for them, and they've been given you to train up in the way that they should go, and you're training them to go into the world. You're training them totally the wrong way. What could you be thinking? And these are, you know, people that are supposed to be, you know, Christians. These are people that are supposed to be saved, and they're compromisers, and they're constantly, church is good except for when this or that comes up, and so they're teaching their children, you know, church is good sometimes except when there's something more important. You know, rather than teaching them not to compromise and to stand in the things of God. But you see people living for the world, and they just aren't thinking about their children. They're not thinking about, the things of eternity. And it's just a sad thing when you see that. But we need to be, you know, we need to be buying up spiritual ground. And we need to be careful not to be investing in this world, because that's just going to be a total loss. But Proverbs 13 and verse 22, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But, you know, we need to be leaving an inheritance for our children's children, you know, and that in the things of God, not in the things of this life. Who cares? You know, who cares? You know, if they've got food on their table and a roof over their head, that's good enough, so long as they have the Lord. And they're serving him faithfully. What else matters? What else matters? This is just a temporary arrangement, you know. 70, 80 years, maybe 90, you know. But, you know, somewhere in there, that's it. You know, that's the time we get here. We don't want to be investing our life in that short amount of time, you know. There's an eternity that to be living for. We're headed there. Every one of us is headed for eternity, you know. And so we need to be living for that. Preparing for that, investing in that, you know, and teaching our children to live for that. But we spend so much time, you know, in this world, and you know, we might say one thing, but then we do another. And their children see that. They see that example. We've got to be, you know, our words and our actions need to line up with the things of God. But we need to be buying up spiritual ground. So we can leave a well to our children. The next thing, a well that may be used of God to salvation and eternal life. Obviously, we want to be building something you know, invest in our lives in things that can be used of the Lord. And again, your testimony, the truth you stand for, that example you set, that's a witness. That's a testimony. That's something that the Lord can use in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, you know, of others around you, your coworkers, you know. That testimony of your neighbors. Charlie was talking about his neighbors that he witnesses to. You know, one on this side and one on that side. You know, and he's witnessing to these neighbors. Well, they see it. They've had to live with Charlie all these years. And there he is, you know. But he's a testimony, isn't he? He's a testimony, you know. And he's digging a well. There's a well there, you know. Charlie's well. And that's a testimony. You know, and you all have that. Just, you know, wherever you're at, and the people that you influence, they see your life, you know. You're setting an example. That's something that testimony is important. That's something the Lord can use to work in their heart. To meet with them, you know, to meet with them where they're at and give them the things that they need. But live your life faithfully for the Lord. Dig that well. But a well that may be used of God to salvation and eternal life. There in verse 6 again, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well." And it was about the sixth hour. And then over there in verses 13 and 14, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto her," speaking of the woman that he met there at the well, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And so, you know, we see this well of Jacob, just an ordinary old well. But the thing that made it significant was Jesus met with somebody there. Oh, man, we need to be setting some kind of example in our life where Jesus can meet people there. You know, you might not ever even know. Jacob surely didn't know about that, what was ever going to happen. He didn't know about this. You don't know how your testimony is going to affect people. You don't know how you're standing for the Lord and not compromising is going to affect somebody, you know, down the road. You don't know. But you need to be laying the groundwork for that, and you need to be trusting in the Lord, you know. And you need to be laying that thing in the Word of God and standing in the truth of God's Word, and so you're going to leave something, you know, that can be used later on, you know, as a testimony, as something that the Lord can use in the life of somebody else. You know, to communicate spiritual truth to them. But if we build the well right, though it be of earth and of our, you know, by our labors in the earth, if it so please God, He can use it to the salvation and blessing of eternal souls. You know, you might say, I just don't know how God can use my life. I don't know how He can use my labors. You know, I'm just me. You know, if you love the Lord and you're faithful to the Lord and you're serving the Lord, you're digging a well. You're digging a well. You're setting an example. You're being a testimony. And let me tell you what, the Lord can use that testimony to the salvation of souls. He can use that as an example, you know, that convicts hearts and says, you know what, there's something real there. There's something real there. There's something solid. There's something deep. There's a deep well there. There's more. It's not just superficial. There's some deep water there. There's something significant there. And the Lord can use your testimony like that to work in hearts. To work in the lives around you. The big thing is just standing faithful, standing true, standing on the Word of God, not being a compromiser. Man, it's just so tempting to compromise in the time. Don't compromise. Stand on the good old truths of God's Word. Don't be moved from it. You know, dig your heels in and say, no, we're not going to move. We're not going to be swayed. We're not going to compromise on this or that or the other. We're just going to stand in the Word of God. You know, that's what we need to do. Stand in the Word of God. Be a testimony of those things. It was a well with a purpose of God. Jacob never could have understood what purpose this. It just, to him, is just a well. You know, to him, it's just, I need water. I've got to dig a well. You know, your job might be something like that. You know, it's just a job to you. But you know what? You have a testimony there. You have people that see you there, and they see your faithfulness in the Lord, and that's a well. You know, that's something that's a place, isn't it? It's a place. Because you're there and you're laboring and you're doing what seems ordinary, but your people are seeing your faith and they're seeing your testimony, and God can use that. God can use that there. But it was a well with a purpose of God. No doubt Jacob had no idea the far-reaching and eternal purpose God had for this well. I mean, you might not think that your job has much purpose other than putting food on the table, but let me tell you what, it has a lot more purpose. Well, you know, for God. He has a lot more purpose than just putting food on your table. He has a purpose for you to be a testimony, to be a witness, to be a blessing to others. To stand for the truth where you're at, wherever you're at. Wherever you're with people and wherever you're with lost people, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be things that are going to be, you know, that you're going to have to stand in the Word of God and stick out like a sore thumb, you know, in the ways that you stand in the Word of God. There's always going to be those situations where you're going to, where like it or not, if you love the Lord, you're going to be a testimony. Where like it or not, if you're, you know, an outspoken person, you know, you're the kind of person that's just a real easy talker. You know, or if you're a quiet person that isn't, like it or not, if you love the Lord, when you come to those difficult situations, you're going to say, no, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, because I have to be faithful to God. I have to serve Him. And that's going to cause me to compromise in the things of God, and I'm not going to do that. But you just was a witness for the Lord. And that's a testimony. That's a well. That's a purpose that God has you there to be a testimony, you know, of His work of salvation in your life, of His work of teaching you truth and giving you a love for Him and a love for serving Him as a testimony there. But there's a purpose, more far-reaching than just putting food on your table. Again, no doubt Jacob had no idea the far-reaching and eternal purpose of God that he had for this well. Nevertheless, nearly 2,000 years later, Jesus sat upon that well and gave living water first to one woman, then to a city, then to an innumerable multitude from then till now to the preserved Word of God. Jacob never could have thought that his well would have been recorded in Scripture. That Jesus came there one day and he met with a woman and he gave her living water. And he gave living water to a whole city and many, many others. And here we sit today reading this Word of God. Jacob had no idea. You don't have any idea the things that you do in your life, the stands that you take. You have no idea how the Lord will use that. But the thing is you got to make the stand, don't you? You've got to say, no, the Word of God says this, and I don't care, you know, the results of this, one way or the other, I'm going to stand on the things of God. You know, and you don't know. You don't know what the Lord's going to do with that, but I guarantee you, He has a purpose for it. He is going to do something with that. And that's the thing. Just stand on the Word of God, and there is a purpose in those things. But who knows but God how the spiritual wells we leave behind may bless our children and their children and the world. And so our life and labors are a well that we'll leave behind, that we will leave behind and bear our name. We're all digging some sort of a well, so to speak. We're all leaving a legacy, something that bears our name behind. We have a life, we have labors, and we are either serving the Lord like we ought to be or we're not. And both of those things, we're leaving an inheritance for our children. We're either leaving an inheritance of serving the Lord, or we're leaving an inheritance of seeking after the world. That's, you know, that's basically the two kind of wells we're leaving, the two kinds of legacy we're leaving behind. They're going to bear our name. You know, when you say somebody's name, Rich and Jerry Harris, there's a legacy there, right? You know, we were downstairs in an ugly green little room down there, painted ugly green color. You know what? But I looked at that ugly green paint, and there was not a speck of that paint that was on the white of the ceiling, that was on the trim below. You know why? Because they cared. And I heard that it was Rich and Jerry that painted that ugly green paint down there. But that ugly green paint is just perfect. There, and they you know why? You know why? No, who goes down there? Who knows what's down in that room? And the paneling down there, the ugly old paneling. That old paneling down there, you know, Brother Tim, and he said that him and Brother Titus put that paneling up. You know why? Nobody ever goes down there and sees that. Hardly ever anybody goes down there into that basement. But you know what? Somebody loved the Lord. And somebody cared about the things of God. And somebody was willing to go down there and paint and do a good job where nobody was ever going to see it very often. And they're going to be, and because they love the Lord. Those are the things that matter. The things that people care about because they love the Lord. The things that, little things like painting a room downstairs, a Sunday school room downstairs. You're leaving, that's a well. That's a well. That's something you're leaving behind, you know, because you care. And people see that you care, you know. And I mean, I guarantee I don't know half the things around here that people have done and nobody knows about. But the Lord knows about it. And He knows that you did it because you love Him. You know, that's what matters. If you love the Lord, then you're going to leave that behind for people to see They're going to follow after and say, you know what? They love the Lord. They weren't perfect. They made mistakes, but they loved the Lord. And they did the things they did because they loved the Lord. And that's the kind of legacy we want to leave behind. You don't want to have a name like, you know, that when people say, they love the world, you know, and they live for the world. And, that's not what you want. You want people to say, hey, they love the Lord. And they did what they did because they love the Lord. That's the kind of legacy you want to leave behind. Those are the labors. That's the kind of name you want. This is Jacob's well. And what's the most significant thing about Jacob's well? Jesus sat there one day and he gave living water to a city. And he's given living water to countless, you know, millions that have read these scriptures. We want to leave that kind of legacy behind. We want to dig that kind of well. But it's a labor of love for the Lord. Love the Lord and labor for him. And you'll leave this kind of wealth for generations to come after. You'll leave a good name, and people will remember your name. Who was the fella? You know, that's Brother Larry. Who was the fella that worked around here that if nobody else fixed it, he would, but he kind of cobbled it together? There you go. Brother Martin used to talk about him. You know what? But he loved the Lord, didn't he? He was faithful. Man. And you say his name, and all you know who he is, right? You knew who he is, and you knew what he loved, right? He left a legacy, didn't he? He left something that he a good name, right?
He did.
You see, that's what I'm saying. You know, be faithful and serve the Lord. Leave a good name, so people say, "Yeah, they love the Lord. That was a good example. I want to be like that. I want to be a good. Let's just be faithful in the things, in the little things. You know, leave that behind. Leave a good name behind." That's what I'm talking about. You know, we need to be laboring in that. Leave that example for your children to say, you know what? My dad loved the Lord. You know, and I haven't been right, and I want to get right, and I want to serve the Lord like I ought to. You know, leave an example like that. But what will our name mean? And what kind of well will we leave behind? Will our wells give the sweet water from Christ, or will they be the poisoned water of this world? God can take and will use your life and labor. Jacob's well was only earth and stone, and it was dug and built by human hands, but God was pleased to use it. Never doubt that God can and will use the ordinary labors of your life for spiritual and eternal purposes, so long as you're living and laboring for Him. Our life and labors may often seem like nothing more than digging in the dirt, and the results no more than a little muddy water. But trust God to bless your labors, and in the end, you'll see Him use your life like Jacob's well. And like digging a well, the ground will at times be hard, dry, difficult, tiring, filled with cave-ins and setbacks. Some wells will be dry. Some wells will be stolen. Most wells will have to be fought for to keep. But if one day Jesus is pleased to sit upon your well, to the blessing of your children and the salvation of souls, it will be worth it all. So never let the devil persuade you that your earthly labors are vain in the Lord. Keep digging your well. Keep laboring in the things that God has given you to do. And sooner or later, like digging a well, you will find by God's grace the fountain of blessings you so desperately seek. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll conclude with that scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. It says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. The Lord is going to take that labor, and He's going to use it some way or another. There is a purpose for it. But don't give up. You keep laboring in the things of God. Keep trusting in Him. Keep digging your well. Keep digging in the mud and in the hard ground, but keep trusting the Lord that you keep laboring in the things of God. Sooner or later, that's going to bust open. And there's going to be blessings come out forth the ground. But Brother Larry, you come and lead us into our song.